I've been doing a lot of work with Morgan Stanley, so you probably saw my profile and everything up on your website. And I'm currently working with about 5 Morgan Stanley teams right now.
Okay. Very good. All over the place.
So I'm, I mean, they're in, Florida, California, the Carolinas, like Columbia.
Yeah.
I had previously worked with some folks in the Midwest. I got one in Portland, Maine.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're all over.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you domiciled?
Yes. So I live in Indianapolis area.
Okay.
And my office reflects Lafayette, which is about not quite halfway up to Chicago. It's where Purdue is. And for me, so the reason I've been going up there is I partnered with another advisor about 7 years ago, years ago even, and he retired 2 years ago. So I kind of got his book all transitioned and everything, and kind of in that time started building relationships with Brad and Dean, and that's kind of how I got pulled in with these guys.
Okay. Well, I'm very familiar with Indy. How long have you been at Morgan Stanley?
8 years.
8 years? Okay.
Yeah, 8 years. May of 2013.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So I see Dean has just joined us. Hello, Dean. How are you?
Hey, Curtis. Fine.
Good. Good to see you.
Yeah.
And we have Larry Haller.
Haller, yes.
Haller.
Hi, Curtis.
Okay. Hi, how are you? It's good to see you.
Good.
Good. And I just saw someone who just kind of disappeared or is probably connecting with us. Hi, Rob.
Hello. Hi, Curtis.
Okay. And, Barbara Austin. Hello, Barbara.
Good afternoon.
Okay. And, who have I missed, that I haven't, said anything to yet?
So this is Brad.
Hello, Brad. Hello, Brad. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. So Rob, I'm going to let you kind of kick it off and, and then we'll cover whatever agenda you'd like me to cover.
Yeah. This team has, is coming together as a real team. And they'll go into all the details. I mean, they've been a team, but operating kind of in two different locations, finally merging into one location, but still, I think, maintaining a presence in both locations.
Okay.
And you guys can talk about the details of that. But one of the things that they wanted was more team training. And I said, well, you don't need to go any further than Supernova. We're a super all-encompassing team that coaches lots of things. And I said, my partner's really the one responsible for our book on Supernova teams, dealing with all the issues of teams. And so I thought I'd do an introduction of you, Curtis, and then they can spend some time on their particular needs, exactly what it is that they would like to get out of the coaching experience.
Okay.
And so let me introduce Curtis. Curtis has been with us. I've known Curtis for, I think, 35 years. He's been in the business 40 years, I would suggest, and has been an FA. He was a manager in several places. He was a assistant to the president. He was also a regional or district director for the West Coast, and has been writing and teaching and coaching for Supernova for probably 7 years now. And, he really is the one responsible for a combination of things. One is team training and development, but, also diversity, which is, you know, an important topic for us at Supernova. So with that, Dean, maybe you and Brad, can talk, specifically about what you'd like to get out of the experience. And then Curtis, you can go into, you know, why, you might be, suitable for helping them.
Okay.
Fantastic. I'm going to let Dean go first, but Curtis, I got to ask one question. Is that your house in a putting green behind you?
Unfortunately, no. That is, Blackhawk Country Club, where I used to, spend, many times out there playing golf. So, it's in the East Bay of California, by the way.
Okay. All right. I just thought it might be your backyard. So,
just a lot of cornfields in our backyards here. So, nothing like that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, thanks, Curtis and Rob. Thanks for setting this up. I guess you kind of have the gist of it. We came, Brad and Caleb and I came together as a team with Larry and Barbara. Okay. And home plate will be Indianapolis. I still am located in Danville, Illinois, 90 minutes to the east, right on the Illinois-Indiana border. Have a book of business. Basically, we call it the Illinois Book. That's my legacy accounts.
Okay.
My wife and I have bought a home in Carmel, and we'll be splitting time between the two places, and so that I can have a legitimate footprint in Indiana. Caleb's book is up towards Lafayette, which is what is that, about 45 minutes from Indy, I guess, or
an hour.
Is it that far? Yeah. So we are in the same neck of the woods, but not in the same office. So that's opportunity and it's a challenge. We've really enjoyed Rob, you know, Supernova. Curtis, I was with Merrill Lynch and actually was one of Rob's, managers for a while.
Yeah. Your name is like very familiar, Dean. We probably crossed paths.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
I was a national sales manager.
Right.
Private client for a while, working for Jim Shove.
Yeah. Yeah. We left in March of 2009. Obviously that was not a very fun time. Quite frankly, probably would never have left, but we couldn't get an answer if the Champaign, Illinois office would remain open, quite frankly. And we just, we got scared, you know, so,
yeah.
Anyway, for that as background, I've got my Merrill, somewhat of a Merrill pedigree.
Okay.
But thoroughly enjoy Morgan Stanley and, enough said about that. Brad's birthday is today for those of you who don't know. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. I'll let him tell you how old he is, but let's just say I'll let him tell you if he wants to.
And mine is tomorrow. So.
Wow.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. So, I'll be taking over. Caleb and I will be taking over Brad's book of business in a period of years. That's up to his time frame. So the biggest, I think challenge we have is to make sure this is a seamless transition. Everybody's interest is aligned on this. Brad's paycheck post-retirement is aligned on this. So, we all want to make sure that his clients are happy, well taken care of. And then I won't be too far behind that. You know, I'm 59, so I'll probably hang around another 10 or 11 years. Caleb will be quickly behind that. For me, that's job one, is to make sure this is a successful transition. I don't know how deep you want me to get into it at this point.
So Brad, I would assume, is in the Morgan Stanley CTP, is it called, program?
You mean the FAP or FFAP, the retirement program? Is that what you're asking, Curtis?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's a program I will move into when I actually declare retirement.
Okay.
But I'm not there yet, so.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I'd like to do is just tack on to a couple of things that Dean talked about. So in my mind, there's I want to accomplish two things. One, I'm not ready to retire just yet. And Dean and I just finished earning a new designation, the CEPA designation, Certified Exit Planning Analyst. And that's a designation that's geared towards helping private business owners think about value creation in terms of exit strategy, even if they're 20 or 30 years away from exiting the business.
Right.
I would really like to see us build a new business for the next few years, focusing on exit strategy. And then, frankly, one of the things that Rob is aware of is that, so Dean and Caleb and I found each other or learned about each other because of a national organization called Kingdom Advisors. So what's really important to the three of us and what we share apart from or in addition to working for the same firm is that we have the same Christian faith. And so when I was thinking about retirement, it was really important to me to identify people with character, because that for me was the most important qualification in terms of handing my clients over to someone else if and when I actually retire. So Dean and I also recently had the privilege of completing a six-week study, a deep-dive Bible study called Charting Your Legacy, which was created by Howard Dayton, who's the founder of Compass and Crown Ministries. In fact, we had the privilege that Howard himself took us and a few other advisors through that. And so hand-in-hand with the idea of developing business with private business owners and helping them finish well materially is also helping them finish well spiritually. And so that's a really important driver for me as we think about developing new business. But then the second part of this, which is just as critical, is the successful handoff of my business to Dean and to Caleb when the time is right. And I think in my mind, the challenges that our team has is the fact that we are essentially domiciled in three different locations. But even more importantly than the locations is the fact that Dean has his Illinois book. Caleb has his, let's just call it the Lafayette book. In other words, we're not a team in that we have team assets. We each have individual assets, and the handoff is my assets to the two of them. But when I think of when I read through the book, the Supernova Advisor Teams, it struck me that we're kind of at chapter 3 and chapter 4 right now. We just, as a team, finished going through the DISC assessments.
Okay.
That was just like within the last week or two.
Okay.
And we want to use that as a launching point for thinking about roles and responsibilities,
okay,
making sure that, we're not trying to force round pegs into square holes, but we're actually creating a team where everybody is content with what they're doing and satisfied and fulfilled. We have not written roles and responsibilities yet.
Okay.
And then, for example, when I think about mission statements and vision statements and value statements, we haven't worked through that. I think we have an idea in the back of our minds what those would look like. But as far as crafting them to the point where every team member understands them and is focused on them and it becomes a driving purpose for the team, you know, we're not there yet. So I think the challenge is how to direct a team that's not really a true team in the sense of assets, but has come together for the purpose of one FA retiring, but even before that, maybe building a business within the, you know, private business sector. So I hope that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I like the, you know, I like the fact that you've kind of created this little faith-based kind of ministry within the culture of your team. So, you know, that's, you know, quite interesting. And I think we can help you a lot with, you know, pulling that energy together in terms of your purpose statement. So I'm certainly, I think I heard you that right now we're an assembly of people. And what we want to try to do is figure out how we can collaborate with one another. But I'm very interested in hearing, you know, from any other members of the team and what they have to say in terms of where you are too. So do we want to hear from Larry or Barbara or,
And I'm going to step off. Okay, guys.
Okay. All right. Rob, thank you for the handoff. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, Rob.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Curtis, I'll go ahead and just hop in. I know I kind of gave you a little bit of my background in the industry. But as it would pertain to the team, I think the thing that made me most comfortable as the call it youngest producer on the team is just the, for knowing Brad longer, the comfort level that I had with him. But then also as I've gotten to know, Dean and having some good conversation with him as well. Like, from my side, I always want to be able to have an expectation of what we see developing over a long period of time. I mean, I've got a little bit more capacity, and I can also appreciate that, you know, as Brad talked about with finding opportunities with higher net worth business owners and, you know, if him and Dean are able to go out and, you know, potentially get a lot better traction than arguably I might be able to, things that I can do to help free them up, I think are beneficial to everyone. You know, concerns that we've talked about on different calls with Rob, you know, for me as a younger producer, just kind of knowing, all right, how might this potentially play out? As I mentioned, going through the transition of the FAP program with my other partner, I, you know, kind of learned more about how that process worked. The time frame was, a little bit longer than anticipated, but in the end, a lot of that work and uncertainty was well within the payoff. So I think for me, I've got to be uncomfortable with, or I've got to be comfortable with that uncertainty as long as we're all moving in the right direction, which again, being extremely comfortable with Brad and Dean as individuals, and while the faith-based alignment doesn't necessarily guarantee that things play out, because I'm sure we've all seen examples of advisors who had similar faith-based or values, you know, the team did not play out over a 30-year period of time, 10-year, whatever. I'm extremely comfortable with both of these guys and that uncertainty and hopefully being able to give them more capacity to hunt some of these bigger opportunities.
Okay. Okay. I've taken a lot of notes. So let's see. I think the person we should hear from also is Barbara. So Barbara, why don't you tell me what's on your mind? And I want everybody to be able to ask me anything you'd like to ask since, you know, I wrote the book on teams and it was one of the, concepts that I really emphasized in my leadership at Merrill, which allowed me to pretty much double revenues and production everywhere I went. But so, Barbara, let me hear from you.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So really what I hope to gain from this experience is defining those roles and responsibilities, because I feel like that's going to give each person on this team a purpose and be able to really focus on that purpose and drive results from that purpose. And I think the whole team will benefit from that, because we're going to know what everybody's responsibility is, know, trust that person will do it. I think one of the things that was very profound in your book was the communication and accountability. And so that's kind of my, I don't know, I think it probably something that came out in the DISC assessment that we did, is that those two things are really important to me. Okay. And so as we build this team, and Brad really, I think, eloquently outlined where we are in those steps, and that we're, you know, not there yet. Right. And so, but I do think that that's going to be a crucial piece of this team, future, the success of the team, and seeing where everybody fits in with their strong suits. And so I'm just here to help in any way I can and be open-minded, and I look forward to seeing how it unfolds.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for all that. How about you, Larry?
Well, it's nice to meet you, Curtis. I've worked with Brad since 2009. Okay. I've been part of his team for that amount of time. And my role transitioned from FA to more of a support role. And up until now, I've been doing the planning for Brad. And so if we have a client that we're onboarding and we do a financial plan, I do a lot of that initial work for the team. The I think Barbara touched on communications. I think that would be great if we can gel and have a well-oiled machine where everybody knows what everybody's doing and hold each other accountable and are able to move forward. So
that's well said. Now I've got some comments that I could make, based on some of the feedback that you've given me, but I want to make sure that I address any questions that you have. So let's start first with just questions that you might have regarding, Curtis, okay, we've thrown some things at you. How are you going to make this work for us? Whatever, feel free to kind of, pepper me with questions that you have. So go ahead. And I'll just say one thing in terms of, faith. That's one thing that's very important to me. I mean, I start my day off, reading a, going through some meditation, reading a, Tom Stanley. Not Tom Stanley, but Charles Stanley, and then writing notes in a journal, writing out my prayer, and then writing out my reflections. And so, I'm on the same page, as you are as far as that's concerned. But let's go ahead and move into some questions, and then I'll tell you more about what I can do to help you. So who would like to go first?
You're on mute, Brad.
Yep, sorry about that. Yeah, well, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that we're on the same page from a faith standpoint. That's a real blessing. You kind of just posed the question that I wanted to ask. So you've heard about the uniqueness of our team, the potential trials or the, you know, what lays in front of us, what makes us different than a typical team. So I guess my question would be what you already articulated. How would you go about helping us solve some of the unique challenges that, that we face and, sure. and, you know, hopefully gel into, a well-oiled machine where everybody knows what everybody else is responsible for, what everybody else is doing. Okay. So I'd love to hear your comments on that. So that would, I mean, that would be my primary yeah. question.
Okay. So I think, you know, one of the things that we do is we, I think with this team, I think we really should go through the book together on a kind of a chapter by chapter basis. And what I did at the end of the book is I've thrown out assignment for each team. And so I think we should kind of go through that and go through some interpretation of, well, what did you mean when you wrote this? So I think that that's one of the educational points of view we should take. One of the other parts is we discuss, team dysfunction in the book. And how to deal with that. So we shouldn't look at dysfunction as a negative. We should look at it as, well, we just haven't gotten there yet. And how do we do that? And if we don't solve that, what happens? It leads to lack of accountability and distrust among team members. So we definitely deal with that. The other thing that we should do as a team is we should look at team collaboration. You know, you all bring certain strengths and capabilities to the organization. So how do we gel that and make that work for the team? Sometimes the delegation of duties and responsibilities is not enough. You know, all the producers are relationship managers on the team. And then some of you may be what I call secondary relationship managers in the event that a team member is not available. I think one of the great things is, you know, we've been dealing with the pandemic, which creates these gaps in terms of teams coming together. And some of the teams I've worked with, one of the things I just simply had to do was to get the team to huddle up for like 10-minute huddles every day and begin to start the communication process of what do we have on our agenda. So I would say if I was your team leader, and we need to define who that is, and the team leader isn't always the biggest producer on the team, but he serves as this catalyst that helps to gel the team. So the team leader The team leader would say, okay, what are our key metrics that are driving our business? You know, what are the four or five things that drive that? And who's going to be accountable for each of those metrics? It may be more than one. It could be two people. But it's not that that person who's driving that metric is 100% responsible for it. So, you know, for example, if it's growth and business development, one person isn't responsible for all the growth and business development of the team, but may be accountable for helping to shepherd the team and talking about growth. So you might say something like, you know, our target this week was three brand new relationships. And our pipeline has got six in the queue. We've closed on three, and that's where we are. And then you chime in and you discuss, well, what do we need to do, you know, to bring these relationships forward? So the person who is heading up planning for the team might not necessarily do all the plans. But do we have a sheet that talks about articulated opportunities that exist for clients? how many plans did we do this week? What did we uncover? So is the team collaborating? Are we getting together and using Zoom? I talk about personal introductions. We help you with some scripting ideas on that. I have a business plan template that I use. And now we're getting to almost the end of the year. And so that becomes important. And if I can get the team to work on that together, that'll be a help with the unification of the purpose and the strategy. So I would be providing you with a template on how that works. I also created a team forecasting tool, which is, you know, kind of a calculator that allows us to do what if scenarios. And then what I would do is draw out the, from a quantitative standpoint, the qualitative things that the team needs to do. And I can take a team through a number of what if scenarios in like 8 minutes, whereas before it used to take a team 8 hours just to look at how they forecast their business growth. So we have that tool that we'll use. In terms of your DISC strategy, I would certainly like to see a copy of that and get an idea of you know, what the feedback was, what the individual personalities are, where you know, feel you're strong, where you feel that there needs to be some development. Love to look at that. So those would be some of the things that we do. And one other thing is teams often want to know, well, what's the end game? So, I have a presentation that shows the team being the focal point of what goes on and how teams get capacity and get leverage using one another's talents and skills. And so I would show you, you know, how does this fit? Do you all like this as an end game? And if so, you know, let's work on how we make that happen. So those are some of the things. And I try to listen, and focus my attention on what you're telling me. And I took like, hey, teams got to find capacity for growth. You got to have a process that works. You're in numerous locations, which is obviously required by a pandemic. And so, you know, I talk about virtual teaming and how virtual teams work. One of the teams I was working with at Morgan Stanley, he just did not really want any parts of portfolio management. And we found him a virtual partner in another location that does all of the portfolio management, you know, for his team. And guess what? His business went from 1.7 to 2.2 million in the midst of a pandemic. And so it's the little things that that we pay attention to. Now let me stop talking for a minute. Maybe I've triggered some thoughts and around your questions, and so let me hear from you, Dean.
I think not only I just want to make sure everybody understands, everybody being you, the very unique nature of not only three locations, but literally three different books of businesses as right. It stands now. We'll be migrating to take, Brad's book in. But as I failed to communicate, which Brad kind of did hit on, is Brad really wants to hit it hard, I think, for the next 3 years. Okay. And so it's kind of this weird conglomeration that we're all very experienced, the three of us, and yet we're wanting to build this other fourth new business, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
As a group. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like creating whether you call them specialized niche markets or whether or not you call them channels of distribution. And so You know, when we have your team business plan, you know, you can say, look, we're holistic, but we have a specialty and a number of key market channels, A, B, C, and D. And Brad heads up, you know, a certain channel. So as we begin to define, you know, roles and responsibilities, you have relationship manager, you all got that. But in addition to, there's a specialized market development channel that you all have some expertise in. And that's really good as you face off with clients, knowing that, you know, from a holistic standpoint, that this team differentiates itself with some areas of a specialization.
Yeah.
And does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think from a Supernova point of view, you know, we're all on board with 1242, with segmentation, with five-star model. That's fine. It's, I just want to make you or whoever we work with for that matter, right, just understand that, you know, like, okay, for example, a daily 10-minute huddle. Well, I'm not sure how that would work with us, because I don't have any contact really with Caleb's clients in Lafayette, nor he with mine, or vice versa. So if that's, you know, just so there's room for customization, because we're kind of a weird group, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I do think the whole program, you know, for you is going to be completely customized. And I think that the, you know, the book kind of presents a kind of a focal point to rally around. But, you know, the, you know, team huddles, team communication, you know, you may have, you know, something of value to contribute to what Brad is building and working on. And Larry may have something, you know, for you. And so that's the rationale behind a team getting together and communicating on a regular basis. But I do think having a plan and a strategy is going to help you, and it's going to help me as we engage on something that's more customized. I really do.
The exciting part is figuring out how to leverage our SEPA certifications. Right. And, you know, we have said that our niche is Christian business owners.
Right.
And so SEPA, I guess, made me feel much more comfortable approaching someone with, say, a minimum $5 million up to $100 million business, okay, those middle markets. And so that's, I think that's what we really want to concentrate on, you know, future marketing efforts.
Sure. I also, I wrote an article on for business owner marketing, and it deals with understanding the pain points of the business owner. You know, I have given pitches to private equity firms and venture capital firms when I was doing some entrepreneurial things. And, you know, the one thing is when you walk away from a meeting with a business owner, you are walking away knowing that you had some values that you described, but you discovered the pain points in that business. What are they? Where do they exist? You know, is it cash flow management? Is it the focus on key employees and retention? But to help you with those things. So, you know, we may call a lot of audibles, you know, in our coaching. But the key thing in working with me is to express yourselves and express your content. I'm working with a team now. They're doing about 5.2 million. They have three separate channels, with two of them being quasi-institutional and one being more of a high net worth. So, yeah, different channels require, and I had to run a bunch of auditals. I had to get them thinking about that they have created a separate channel of focus, whereas before they just kind of lumped everything together. They knew they had some different businesses, but yeah, that's key. Very key. Caleb?
Go ahead, Caleb.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of, as we're talking about multiple channels, and I mean, you touched on some of the things that you've done, Curtis, with not just growing assets, but I think you also talked about wallet share or finding new assets within the book, and then just creating scale. So I don't know if it's so much a question as much as a comment of, I think, thinking about how we grow really well. And one of the exciting things for me about partnering, you know, and really seeing Brad's passion and energy and Dean, but specifically, you know, with Brad being however many years away from wanting to transition, but still wanting to, grow, you know, and be prudent in building the book of business. That's much more exciting than, you know, somebody that's got it on cruise control and we're just kind of fading and waiting for, you know, that lever to be pulled. So just kind of thinking about that of, all right, as we grow, how are we building a moat around the current book of business, but then also doing as things efficiently as we possibly can so that we're preserving scale. That's kind of my point.
You know, one of the things Rob didn't tell you is, as a regional director, I was responsible for, four businesses. So, you know, multiple channels of distribution. I had an Asia Pacific business. I had a institutional middle markets business. I had a private wealth business and a private client business. And so, you know, each of those had, separate, you know, channels of distribution and a very large $1 billion business. And so the thinking and the strategy of how I work with you will certainly incorporate, you know, that experience. Very few people get an opportunity to, get that kind of exposure from a leadership standpoint and pass that on. So what I'm going to try to bring to you is some collective wisdom, based on where I've been and what I've done.
So Curtis, this is Brad. Let me, maybe two or three just kind of pragmatic questions. What would the coaching look like in terms of time frame, in terms of, are we talking about, monthly sessions? How does that play out? And then you've alluded to working with Morgan Stanley team, so I assume you're approved in the Morgan Stanley consulting system.
Absolutely. I'm approved, and I do a lot of work with Morgan Stanley, and I've been back, to New York and learned, many of, the Morgan Stanley, you know, policies and procedures and development. And, of course, you know, I know James Gorman too. He used to, you know, when he was at Merrill and I was working for the chairman, he was down the hall. So yeah, I mean, I get that piece of it, very, very well. So a lot of Morgan Stanley, relationships.
So how does the coaching actually work in terms of time frame?
Well, I would, you know, and this is, you know, up to you, but since you've been through, has everybody been through Supernova? Okay.
Yes.
If everybody's been through Supernova, I think, a twice monthly call would be appropriate. You know, if we, you know, the way I think about things is if we wait once a month to get this stuff done, you know, at the end of 1 month, you know, we're 1/12 where we want to be. And so do we want to take forever getting this done, or do we want to, you know, go ahead and, you know, move on this stuff so that we can start making contributions to your practice? So I think at least a bi-monthly call. We don't have to do the intense 12 weeks, but probably I would say twice a month would be appropriate. And I would probably, along with you, I've taken some notes on what you want. And we'll, I always start my calls with, I've got an agenda, but before I get started, what's on your mind? And I go through each every individual and ask them, you know, give me an update. You know, what are some of the problem areas you're dealing with? You know, what are you focused on right now? And then we'll cover some new material. Okay. So I think twice each month is probably kind of an appropriate time frame.
And for how long? How many months?
You know, if we're gonna, I would like to work with you for a year, which I think would be, kind of appropriate. Once we get, some of the things down, and if we want to convert to, once a month, we can do that. I'll be flexible there. But if we got, if we're getting the concepts down and we're implementing them, that's fine. But what's going to happen is, new issues are going to come up with this team, you know, constantly. If I think we're going to grow like we want to grow, you know, you're going to have some other growing pains. You're going to have some transition, issues. You know, go on. You might, you know, have to consider onboarding another individual. We have to see where this goes. You know, to support some of the business that you're trying to, you know, develop, especially some of the specialized areas. The bread and butter, you know, that's fine. But some of the nuances that you want to develop, you know, may require, you know, some additional time. So I would say, you know, I mean, I could probably put together, you know, an outline that would incorporate, some of the things written in the book on teams, you know, and I think we should go in, reinforce some of that. I think we should look at your DISC analysis and see what that reveals, pull that together, and then start dealing with the seamless transition. You cannot make a seamless transition, in my opinion, in all the teams I work with, and without, you know, coming together independent of me as a team. And, you know, I will tell you, there's one team I'm working with where, you know, I went around and I asked each team member, okay, I'm a $10 million client. Why don't you articulate your team's value and what you do? And then I want you to pass the baton off to the next team member. Well, it was, you know, very disjointed. It's like they kind of had an idea what everybody did, but it wasn't smooth, and we needed to kind of create that. You know, because a $10 million client is going to look at this team and they're going to see, wow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, very bright individuals. What do they do? How can they add value from it? And so we need to pull that together. And then guess what? This team called me 2 weeks ago and said, look, we've just onboarded another team member, and we need to figure out how do we incorporate this individual into our team. And so we're spending time doing that right now. And of course, I wrote a chapter on how to onboard a new team member, which is in the book as well.
Right.
What else?
Well, Larry, that help you, Barbara, do you,
Larry, you're a little quiet there. You got any questions?
Taking it all in, Curtis. Just taking it all in.
Okay. Barbara?
Yeah, I actually was thinking along the same lines as Dean, in that, you know, we really do have kind of a unique situation with three individual books of business. And I think from where I sit, I can't help but wonder, you know, if, you know, 2 years, 3 years is really not that far away. And right. we really need to hone in on how we are going to get to the day that Brad does retire and that handoff. And I don't think, you know, I don't think anybody on the team thinks that we're going to wait till a month before it's going to happen. But I'd like to see that plan start now because, you know, Dean doesn't necessarily know Brad's clients. Caleb doesn't necessarily know Brad's clients. And I think we need to start incorporating the introductions in a really kind of like thought out way.
Exactly.
A well thought out way. And then you have the component of, okay, now we want to go after, you know, Christian business owners and exit strategies that those folks might be having or having. Right. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Caleb is going to really focus on the retail side of things and Dean's going to focus on the business side of things? And then do we have a support system in place for Caleb's retail, you know, business, and do we have a support system in line for the business side of business? And so that's what really goes through my mind because, you know, I'm the support person here and I can't handle all of it. So right. it becomes a little bit overwhelming to me to even think about it without a plan. So that's really what I'd like to see happen in this process is developing that plan. And I know we're just, you know, at the
touch the tip of the iceberg right now. Yeah.
Right.
And, I'm your accountability. I'm your accountability partner. You know, and sometimes, when you're starting off like this, with, disparate individuals, you need an accountability partner. You know, somebody who's going, that you can bounce ideas off that can tell you, look, Dean, I think, you know, I hear what you're saying. But have you considered this? I like where you're going with that, reinforcing the positive behavior and downplaying the things that won't work. Because what I'm bringing to you is collective wisdom of what I've seen. So don't think that you're the only ones that have gone through this because, you know, you're not. And if it isn't done appropriately, you know, team members, they get divorced, they break up and that's not good for anybody. And so that's why it's important to get everybody on the same page. So, you know, and here goes some rhetorical questions. Caleb, what's the team's value proposition? You know, what's your mission? I'm a $10 million relationship. You know, Dean, you know, I've got a massive, you know, 401k. What do I do here? How do I disengage from my current provider onto the new provider? You know, Larry, you know, planning, I don't really believe in it. And, but convince me that, you know, I need to be doing a plan since you do the planning for the team, you know, and Brad, you know, I like the fact that this is, that your values point to a faith-based scenario. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to tie 10% of what I earn to the church. How are you going to help me facilitate that? And if Brad's not there, can Dean handle that question? Can Caleb handle that question? So how do we get everybody, you know, in a coordinated way to leverage your talents? You know, I don't know if you read the chapter in the book I wrote on the Navy SEALs, but it was like a section there where they've encountered a enemy combatant force of 150, and it's a five-member team. Does that five-member team go after the 150 combatants? The answer to that is no. What are they going to do? They're going to call in their platform. Maybe it's drone strikes. Maybe it's cruise missiles. Maybe it's aircraft support. Maybe it's a quick action force. So it's leverage. You all are in a great position to get some outstanding leverage. If you come together, does Barbara now, is she responsible for brand and growth or the practice management of the team? And does she need another person, you know, that's working with her so that she can leverage her best talent to support this team? So those are all of the kinds of questions, you know, we have to ask as we really look at teaming. It's quite interesting, and it's quite fun. Okay, who else have I that needs to throw something at me? Any more, Dean? Anything you?
How much are you?
Initial? How much am I? I'm not for sale. No, well, you know, the two things we have to do is, number one, this is a customized program, so I'm going to go back and interact with Morgan Stanley. I deal with Cecilia Herendina back there. And, you know, if you all are up for the twice a month, then I'll figure out the Morgan Stanley program that kind of coincides with that. And I'll come back to you with the, you know, with the pricing, you know, for a year of coaching, you know, twice a month. And as you worked with Rob, if you couldn't make it, then what we'll do is we'll reschedule, you know, for the next, time frame. And so, and that goes with me. If there's a time when, you know, I'm not going to be available, then of course, I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to certainly catch you up. And what I'll try to do with you also is, provide a bit of an executive summary of what we covered and some of the next steps so that you always know, you know, where we are, what we're trying to accomplish, for each call. Oftentimes teams get a little bit of a head, of where we are. And so I often take time and get a little head with you, but I bring you back to some of the basic fundamentals that you're going to need in order to make this thing work. So, my commitment is to, I'll review your DISC information. I will, communicate with Morgan Stanley, and, I'll come back to you with a very short proposal about where I think, we can go with this, taking into consideration the, page and a half of notes that I've gotten from everyone.
I think that sounds great. It is important to us, as you stated earlier, to work with another person of faith. So, yeah. For me, that's a non-negotiable. So I appreciate your stance on that.
Yeah. I'll tell you an interesting thing. In 2019, April of 2019, I woke my wife up at about 3:30 in the morning. I said, you know, I'm having some heaviness in my chest. And I said, let's go to the ER. And she said, okay, we'll go. And got in the car, drove to the hospital. And, you know, when you get to the hospital, they want to ask you a million and one questions. And I'm thinking, hey, look, check me out here because I'm not feeling too good. Bottom line is I woke up and I had a triple bypass. There was a tear in one of my arteries. The next thing is my wife, previous to that, was diagnosed with metastatic colon cancer. 4.5 months later, she died. By December of the same year, I got a prostate cancer diagnosis. And I'm about to go off of all medication at the end of October. And I'm writing this memoir, and it's called 12 Months of Crisis and Pain. And it's about a spiritual reawakening that I underwent during this time frame, you know, and still maintaining the positive attitude. But if I wasn't spiritually grounded, I don't think that I could get through 12 months of crisis and pain. So that's where what I'm trying to do is get real with you and say, well, where does this come from? Everybody says that they've got some faith, but I'm telling you, this is where it comes from.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Curtis. Can I, would you give Barbara your, I guess we probably have your email address from the Zoom invitation. Barbara, would you send him the 5 DISC assessments, please?
Okay.
And then I think the ball's in your court, Curtis, so we'll just wait to hear from you. I'm very encouraged by our conversation. Okay. I concur with Dean. It's really important to us to have somebody that